Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Hooten, Judge Johnson, Judge Sleater, the Honorable Carol A. Hooten presiding.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The first matter that we're considering this morning is the case of Erica Vipon versus Lance J. Bebot. The file number is A20-1248. And counsel, you will each have 15 minutes for your oral argument. The appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. I do ask that you identify yourself and your client upon the commencement of your oral argument. And with that, we may proceed this time. The appellant may proceed.
Okay. Michael Bryant representing Ms. Vipon, the appellant. This really isn't a very complicated issue. It comes down to, in the end, it comes down kind of to a he said, she said. My client claims that she was asked, she was 18 year old at the time. She was asked to disrobe and she was looked at in a lascivious manner by the defendant. And then she claims that after she put her clothes back on, that he did an examination that included him touching near her vagina area. And he's just denied it. There isn't any explanation that says for medical reasons, this is why I did it. There's been no defense of, you know, that there was some reason that was justified to do. It's just basically, I didn't do it. I didn't look at her that way. I didn't touch her near that area. And that's their defense. And so based upon that, I would submit, as we argue in our brief, that this isn't a complicated issue. It comes down to whether or not the jury believes my client or believes him.
Mr. Bryan,
go ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
Mr. Bryan, I think I understand your point. If this was a non-malpractice related summary judgment issue, but isn't precisely the purpose of the, well, first off, we don't look at it summary judgment the usual way, if I understand correctly, because of the malpractice in terms of de novo, but an abuse of discretion. And it's not really an issue factual dispute. In fact, I don't know that the court, as I recall, actually went into or nor needed to the truthfulness of the facts. But isn't it true, the bottom line here is, assuming all the facts to be true, the question is whether that breaches a medical duty, a duty of care that we, and that's the point that's argued, as I understand, and by the court noted, was missing from the expert affidavits, is what the physician's assistant do outside of the standard of care for the medical profession.
If you only look at it in that way, then yes, that would be the question. We have two arguments. Is one, that there's a sexual battery here and that it has nothing to do really with a medical malpractice case. When they deposed my client, they spent a significant amount of time asking her sexual questions about other things that had happened to her.
But so I guess my question, though, is isn't that a circular argument? In other words, would it not only become a sexual battery if indeed an expert opined that what the physician's assistant did during this medical examination was improper and outside the duty of the proper duty and scope of duty, I should say, of the medical profession.
If the dispute was one of he said, well, I did this for these reasons. So like, if you look at the Hale case where you talk about the mass, the defense was we had a right to take this out because that was part of the procedure. His defense is this didn't happen. So it clearly comes down to, did this happen or didn't this happen for the question for the jury? But to back it up further, if the only question is, did he go outside the standard of care? Our expert said he did, that you didn't need to have her clothes come off. You didn't need to touch near her vagina as far as it took place. They accepted our complaint as being true. And based upon those facts, he was outside what he should have done. And when you look at his defense, I think that's the defense. It's not like I needed to touch near her vagina or I needed her to stand there without her clothes. He's saying it didn't happen. And so based upon that, I'd say that we do meet the affidavit standard. But beyond that, I'd submit that for a lot of different reasons, this isn't truly an affidavit issue.
It is the defendant's, the individual defendant, is his testimony part of the motion record? I've seen an excerpt of the depo transcript of the plaintiff. It was in the respondent's addendum. For purposes of this motion, which is concerned with the statute requiring expert affidavits, does the defendant's testimony matter? And I guess if so, is there any evidence in the record about his, you know, his deposition testimony or his affidavit?
I thought that was part of the record. I would have to check, Your Honor. But it matters as far as their defense goes, because they give no explanation of why they would have done this that was right. And the cases they rely upon are cases where they try to justify, or the doctor defends it by saying what I did was right.
Well, I mean, we're here not on summary judgment, but on the district court's order that expert affidavits are required, and also that the ones that were offered are insufficient, right?
Correct.
I mean, don't we evaluate those issues just based on the plaintiff's case, the plaintiff's complaint, the plaintiff's evidence?
Well, then if we accept what she says is true and based upon her evidence, then I'd submit that the only issue is a factual issue for the jury. Did this really happen or not, based upon her testimony?
Well, except I think the argument of the respondent here was that even accepting her testimony, that you still are required to show that this touching, which I understand was 1 inch below and 1 inch above, according to her deposition testimony, was appropriate. Was that appropriate as part of a medical exam for the hip problems she was having? And isn't that your burden to show that, as evidenced by the fact that you obviously recognize that because you had a doctor look at this and to give opinions on it?
Right. And the doctor looked at it and said, based upon our complaint and taking those facts as true, he deviated from the standard of care. So I
think the argument of the respondent is you can't just isolate one little part of this without viewing it in the context of the whole, you know, the whole case, your case, which is there was a physical exam done purportedly for a medical condition.
Correct.
You have to look at it all in context, and how can the jury analyze these issues without knowing what the standard of care is for such physical exams? I mean, isn't that the issue?
Well, an 18-year-old girl being asked to take her clothes off and him saying, I didn't do it, that I don't get that there's that's complicated for a jury. I mean, they figure out a lot more complicated things than that. This isn't like figuring out should you have done a mass or whether or not they should have caught cancer. It's a simple question of, did this happen, and was there an effect on her that created damages? I mean, I added the somebody's trying to get in or something. I added the affidavit because it's a doctor that's involved, and that statute's written so broad. But the reality is that I've got the basics I would submit in my affidavit to meet the standard.
The affidavit is pretty, the district court said that it did not have the detail that's required by the statute. And it does strike me as being pretty short and conclusory. Simply says that he breached the standard of care without providing. The case law talks about providing details and the grounds for the opinions and the evidence relied on and so on. But I don't see that in either affidavit.
If there's a complicated issue. So if you, what line is there missing that is complicated here? That's the part that I submit it is good enough, but even if you go to the point where our argument's beyond that, you don't even need an affidavit in this case.
Well, I mean, as I read the materials in the respondent's addendum, as I read the plaintiff's deposition transcript, it's not clear to me. I mean, she was there because of pain in her knees, her legs, her hips, her back. And the PA was trying to assess that. And I don't know whether those procedures, those steps are necessary or appropriate or relevant. I mean, based on what I've read, I mean, that, you know, she had pain in her groin area, I believe, is what the records say. And the PA was doing some work on that. And I guess, just to be clear, I mean, there's no testimony that I saw where she said he touched her vagina.
Itself. Inside her vagina, no. He touched near her vagina was the concern. But before that,
it's the pubic bone 1 inch above the vagina opening. And I'm also in between her legs, close, 1 inch below the vagina opening. So that's very different from the vagina itself. Agree?
I would agree with that.
But it could be that those parts of her body were where she had pain or where the PA might be able to assess her condition. I don't know. As a layperson in the medical realm, how am I to know whether that was right or wrong?
But it, that's where it goes to. If he had said, I did these things for these reasons, that's what they say in the Mass case. He shouldn't have done these things. He shouldn't have had an 18-year-old girl take off all her clothes and look at her front and back. There was no reason for that. He shouldn't have touched in that area. There was no reason for that. And that's the basis for our claim. Those two things shouldn't have happened.
And Mr. Bryant, yes, go ahead.
Judge. Ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
Thank you. You've said that a couple of times that it's his burden, but is not the case law clear under the medical malpractice statute that it would be her burden via the expert affidavit that he should not have done what he did? And isn't that the issue that's missing as alleged by the respondent and the district court ruled? In other words, the very bare bones, and it looks like the affidavit is not much different than the attorney affidavit I assume you submitted. I didn't see it in the record that is not required to go into that detail, but not just that familiar with the standard of care. Here is the standard of care, and the Lindbergh case seems to focus on that. And here is how, under these facts, I believe he went beyond. Isn't that what's missing and it's required under the malpractice, under the statute, in order for them to proceed to a fact finder?
If it was a complicated issue, and I would submit that it's not that complicated. And I'm not trying to shift the burden to them. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is pointing out is these cases that they're using to justify their position don't apply here. This isn't a complicated matter. There's not a lot going on here other than she says these happened and this is my damage as a result, which is why I go to the argument that we didn't even need an affidavit. But if we accept as true that we have to have an affidavit, I'd submit that our bare bone affidavit gets us to the point that should get us to a jury. That's my argument.
You know, I just want to follow up on that because, I mean, you keep saying, I don't need the affidavit, but don't you in all of these cases need to have some medical expert support to figure out what the standard of care is? For example, if this were a gynecological exam, I mean, if you take that out of context, it could be... even designated under your theory as a sexual assault, but within the context of what you would expect in a gynecological exam, it's within the norms of the standard of practice for gynecologists. Isn't this the same type of thing though? that whether this is appropriate or not appropriate depends upon the context of what would be ordinarily expected in an orthopedic exam, which necessarily involves physician input.
If the defense was this was appropriate, their defense is this didn't happen. That's it. They're saying right. they never had her stand there with her clothes off. They never had her stand the way that she did. So it's different. It's a rare case. Doctors have special protections. It's a rare case that this applies. But to say a gynecological exam, if this was a gynecological exam, I probably, other than the issue of her standing there naked as an 18-year-old, wouldn't have an issue with the examination. There wouldn't be a problem.
Am I correct?
Go ahead.
I don't remember any discussion in the district court's order and memorandum about the defendant's position or about the PA's testimony about what he did or didn't do. Do you agree with me that that's absent from the district memorandum. Court's discussion?
Correct.
Is that something you're saying was a misanalysis? The district court should have taken into account the defendant's defense, basically. The theory of the defense is not that this was consistent with the standard of care, but rather that the plaintiff's testimony is false. So, I mean, in your view, the defendants have admitted that if it occurred as plaintiff testified, it would be a breach of the standard of care. Is that?
I think that's true.
Well, we'll find out soon, maybe.
Okay.
When Respondents' Counsel makes his argument, I'm curious to hear the response to your argument.
Any other questions? Okay.
You will have 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Ken Bayless, and I represent Lance Beebo and Heartland Orthopedics. I want to start by addressing this question of whether this is really a he said, she said type of case, and whether there was testimony in the record that came from PA Beebot. And there wasn't. What was in the record was the deposition transcript that plaintiff herself submitted in support of her claim. And when you examine that transcript, what you find out is that the examination that was taking place was precisely the type of examination one would expect in this particular medical setting. So she said she comes in complaining about shooting pain in her back. She has knee and back pain that she describes. That's found at page 7 of our addendum. It shoots down to a point below her knees. She tells Beebot about this pain in her back and her legs. And they discuss the fact that she might have scoliosis. So that's found at respondent's addendum at page 12, lines 18 through 19. Beebot asks her, according to her deposition testimony, can I check for scoliosis? And she says, that's fine. That's respondent's addendum, page 13. She also complained of right-sided groin pain. That's in the confidential addendum at page 1. And she specifically complained about pelvic pain. She states in her deposition that she told Beebot about the pelvic area pain at page 18 of our addendum, lines 13 and 14. So we've got pain in the back, pain that shoots down to below the knees, pain in that entire area of the body where the exam is conducted. And she agrees that she gave Beebot consent to do the scoliosis examination. And she agrees that she got up on the exam table voluntarily and the exam was performed on her. And Dr. Beebot then, or PA Beebot noted that he thought she should require an MRI scan. An MRI scan was performed, and this later resulted in a spinal surgery, according to page 66 of the transcript, though that particular page isn't in our addendum. So what we're talking about is this entire area of the body, and the exam on the exam table was performed while she was fully clothed. And it was performed in an area where you would expect someone to complain of, where they're complaining of groin pain and pelvic pain. And there's nothing particularly unusual about that on its face. So when it comes to saying it's a he said, she said case, it's not. If you take her version of what happened.
Can I just inquire, Mr. Bayless?
Yes.
You said it a couple different ways that it's obvious on its face. And I'm trying to understand that in relation to the standard of our review and what the district court reviewed in a malpractice. Are you agreeing with the appellant then when you say that no medical affidavit is necessary because jurors can on their face from testimony such as what was in the deposition? And if not, why not?
Not at all, Your Honor. What I'm saying is it's obvious that we're dealing with a part of the body that's related to the examination. I mean, she's complaining about pain in that area of her body. That's an obvious point. It's not like the cases where the courts have found that expert testimony wouldn't be required. So if you go into a surgical procedure and they leave a scalpel behind, or if you have eye complaint and they end up amputating your foot, those types of cases are obvious and such. But what the point I'm making is that the doctor is obviously dealing with the part of the body that she is complaining about. Now, it's been advocated in the brief at pages 8 and 9 of appellant's brief that no, this is a knee case, that this case is just about complaints of knee pain, and that the examination should have been limited to that area around the knees. At one point, they say that in their brief at page 9. But as I've gone through and as her own testimony shows, the examination that's being conducted is of those body parts. And the case law that examines this question of whether an affidavit is required under these circumstances establishes that you do need an affidavit, and particularly the Hiley v. Sutherland case involved the question of there was a surgery, consent was given for one area, consent was not given to a nearby area, and expert testimony was required to establish, and a medical expert affidavit was required to establish a breach of the standard of care.
Could I ask you, though, before you go on, do we as a reviewing court take, and also the district court, are we required to take the facts as alleged by the plaintiff here as true for determining the issue of whether an expert affidavit is needed?
Well, the facts that pertain to what actually happened are required to be taken as true. I'll agree with that. But the arguments of counsel about what happened and the arguments of counsel that this is just a knee case, that we should have limited our examination to the knees or that area of the body are different. She claims in her deposition that she went in complaining about these areas. So we have no problem with saying, okay, this is what happened. She went in for an exam and they talked about it. He asked her if you could do a scoliosis exam. He did a scoliosis exam and so forth.
So Mr. Bayless, the case law that you just mentioned, it probably assumes, or it's in the context of cases where the standard of care is in dispute, or perhaps there's a dispute about whether the defendant professional breach the standard of care. Mr. Bryant has suggested that that's not in dispute in this case. In other words, he's suggested that the defendant's theory of defense is that, that what she said would have been a breach if it had occurred, but it didn't occur.
Our theory of defense is that they're required to demonstrate what the standard of care was and whether or not it was breached. And we can test that point, which they say we don't contest, by the way. But the issue before us here on this appeal is the question of have they submitted an expert affidavit that meets the criteria provided for in the statute? And if you look at the affidavit, if you look at the Lindbergh case in particular, it's exactly like the affidavits here. And
okay,
Lindbergh,
I'm sorry, but before you go on, so I guess okay. What you haven't said is that you. Well, I guess you haven't said that the standard of care is in dispute.
Well, the standard of care is in dispute because the question is whether or not the scope of an examination of this particular type was exceeded by the examination of her pelvic area. In other words, he's going in and she's complaining of pelvic pain and he's examining those areas. She describes in her deposition which areas were touched during that examination. And if they want to say that that's beyond the scope of a normal medical examination, they need expert testimony from a physician of some kind or a PA that will say that that's not the normal scope of examination, and they haven't provided it to the court. So yeah, they need testimony on that point, and they haven't provided any. If you look at the affidavits here, they could be used in any case. They're generic. They say, I read the complaint, I know the standard of care, and the standard of care was breaching. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. That's exactly what they say. In so many words, one is one page long and the other is, I think, about a page long as well. One incorporates by reference the other that says, I read the complaint, I know the standard of care, and it was breached. You could say that in any medical malpractice case. In fact, that is almost exactly the language that was used in the Lindbergh case, which is a blueprint for what you shouldn't do. 145.682 was enacted specifically for the purpose of avoiding these types of representations as being sufficient to get a party to trial. That's why the statute was enacted, so that there was more detail required. If you look at the affidavits that were submitted here, they're wholly insufficient. And it's not a case either where the common knowledge exception comes into play. So in the case
law, and that's what I was going to perhaps have you focus on a bit. The district court seemed to make the point that if the only allegation was the touching, I believe is the phraseology, while on the examination table, suggested this case would be different. How should we interpret what the judge is referring to there? And does that, if indeed that's the case, I'm wondering, is the judge referring to, if it was just that allegation, then no expert affidavit would be required? Is that how you, and if that's the case, can the case be remanded with regard to that allegation alone?
Your Honor, I don't think the case should be remanded. The court is, I think, referring to what's on page 7 of the trial court's order. There's a sentence there where the judge talks about if this would not alone have required it. But what the court then does is it goes on to point out that this is arising outside of an ordinary, let's say, assault or battery case because it's in a medical setting. So what the judge is then saying is, this is in a medical setting, and there are issues related to the scope of the examination and whether or not it exceeds the scope of an examination of someone complaining of low back pain and shooting pains down into the legs to examine, you know, the area that's in question. So the judge goes on to talk about the medical nature of the dispute after the trial court makes that comment. I believe that's what he's referring to. Have I sufficiently answered your question, Your Honor?
I believe so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we believe that the affidavit was plainly inadequate because it was generic and didn't even tell us what the standard was. It says, I know what the standards are, but it doesn't tell us what they are, which is a fundamental requirement of these affidavits. It's generic. It did not pass muster. The trial court found it didn't pass muster. The areas of the body we're talking about are related to the complaints. So you needed an affidavit from a medical expert to say, hey, you know, you shouldn't, this exceeds the scope of a proper examination for back pain or shooting pains down into the legs. And that wasn't provided. So we'd ask the court to affirm the decision below. And unless the court has any further questions, I'll conclude.
So just to be clear, I mean, well, maybe you could summarize what was the evidence in the record of the motion?
There was no affidavit from Bebout, if that's the court's question. I mean, the only evidence in the record were the affidavits that were submitted by the two medical experts that were generic. Then there was the transcript, which Mr. Bryant submitted with his supporting affidavit.
Transcript and then, of?
Of her deposition, of okay. Ms. Vipon's deposition. Mm-hmm. And the facts that I've recited to the court throughout my argument have been the facts that she gave in her sworn deposition testimony. And in addition, there was, I think, one or two medical records that we've included. I shouldn't say one or two. There were medical records that were submitted as well. And that's the extent of the motion record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Bryant, Judge Hooten is presiding. I don't want to presume to preside, but I think, Mr. Bryant, your microphone is muted.
I just got the message. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yep.
That was brilliant too, what I said, but so we'll try it again. No, what the respondent has done is forget the first part of the examination. And that's where he had her take her clothes off and looked at her and had her go in both directions and bend over in front of him. And that's part of our claim. That's part of the claim that we're making here. And they ignore that every time.
But Mr. Bryant, just again, kind of get to that basic. We're in a medical examination. So I assume, number one, one taking one's clothes off during a medical examination would not be enough to claim a breach of a standard of care. So it isn't the bottom line is that there's no expert statement saying that, for instance, the top and bending over for this kind of examination for the complained pain breaches the standard of care.
Well, but that's exactly what the affidavit says. I mean, every time I hear someone say the affidavit doesn't say this, exactly what it says, it breaches the care and it's based upon the facts of the that were in the complaint.
Now, Mr. Bryant, can I stop you there? Because we're talking about the question I wanted to ask. And that's, do you agree that this affidavit is insufficient under the Supreme Court's decision in Lindbergh?
No.
How do you distinguish this case from Lindbergh?
Because it's the simpleness of this case that the two items are the examination he had with her clothes off being 18 years old and that there was nobody else in attendance. And then they touched her pubic bone. I mean,
there's nothing in the affidavits themselves that talk about those two issues, right?
Sure it is that they incorporate the complaint in as part of the breach of care. They're accepting what's in the complaint is true.
Well, but the purpose of the statute is that the plaintiff is obligated to provide more than just a complaint, more than just allegations by an attorney, but in addition, expert opinions by a medical professional.
If the issue is a complicated issue. So like the Healy case with the mass, you can't just say taking the mass out was wrong, because they get into all these issues about how they take out the mass and implied consent and all the different issues that come up. So most med mal cases are very, very complicated, or at least the defense makes them very, very complicated in a lot of different ways. And that's not the issue here. And that's the basis for this being so simple. And our argument that you don't even need an affidavit to begin with, but if you do, our affidavit meets that standard. Any other questions?
I don't think so.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. And we will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision within the statutory period of time.
Great. Thanks, Judge. Thank you.